Blog Talk Radio. Hello, and welcome to Care to Read. Thank you very much for joining us for our 18th segment. You've got your Oma Inka in the house, your advocate, the one you need, and your advisor, the one you certainly need. Thank you for joining us on this 18th segment. As we continue on this journey to talk about health education, this particular segment that we will be talking about is how to open up your very own parent information strategies that you need for opening a parent information and referral center. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Stick around because we are going to be telling you how to get involved with being your own parent information center for families of special needs children. And for those teachers who have been dying to get involved and servicing their community, this is the time for you to come on board and get involved. Join me now as I go to a station identification, and we'll be right back at you in the air.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comedy. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out this joint. I'll be sure. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court. While debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to start our segment of the Talking Cure segment where we do our ritual. I'm going to ask Jamel to come in to purify me. Is Jamel in the audience where he can come and purify me? Water knows no enemy. Thank you very much, Jamel, for that. Now that I'm purified and ready to go on with the show, I look to my east and my west. I look to see if there is an elder in the audience who could give me the permission to go ahead with the show. I see an elder here that can give me the permission to go ahead and speak. Elder, do I have permission to speak?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you very much, Elder. Now, I will summon my ancestors to come quickly so that I can stand on their shoulders. And as I summon my ancestors, I look to the east and to the west. I pour libations to the east. I pour libations to the west. I pour libations to the north. And I pour libations to the south. Join me as I continue the ritual by saying Ashe as I call out our heroes and heroes. I call on the name of W.B.E. Du Bois. I'm going to ask the listening audience to go along with me. To go along with me by saying Ashe. And I'm going to open up the airways so that they can help me. Okay. Very good. Thank you so much for joining me. I call on the name of Surgeon of Truth, and I say Ashe.
Ashe.
I call on the name of W.E.B. Du Bois. Ashe.
Ashe.
Nat Turner. Ashe. Mary the Cloud Bethune. Ashe.
Ashe.
Marian Anderson. Ashe.
Ashe.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Ashe.
Ashe.
Malcolm X. Ashe.
Ashe.
Madam C.J. Walker. Ashe.
Ashe.
J. Jackie Robinson, Ashe.
Ashe.
Langston Hughes, Ashe.
Ashe.
Leontine Price, Ashe.
Ashe.
Louis Armstrong, Ashe.
Ashe.
Benjamin Banneker, Ashe.
Ashe.
Booker T. Washington, Ashe.
Ashe.
Carter G. Woodson, Ashe.
Ashe.
That concludes our Heroes and Sheroes names to be called. Now join in with me as I call on my personal ancestors and you call on your personal ancestors and by sealing the confirmation and saying Ashe. Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe.
Ashe.
Robert Jenkins, Ashe.
Ashe.
Tommy P. Parody, Ashe.
Ashe.
Emmanuel Day, Ashe.
Ashe.
Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe.
Ashe.
Elijah Day, Ashe.
Ashe.
Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe.
Ashe.
Eugene Lilly, Ashe.
Ashe.
Michelle Harvey, Ashe.
Ashe.
Sam Lilly, Ashe.
Ashe.
Eliza Day, Ashe.
Ashe.
Aunt Bessie Lilly, Ashe.
Ashe.
Mary Louise, Ashe.
Ashe.
And that concludes the ancestors, and I will call on my Orisha, my head for my mother, Yamenja, and my head for my father, Obatala. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being a part of that ancestral communing. May you incorporate it in your household, in your life, and may we always remember to set a table and a plate for our ancestors so that they may come and sit and commune with us. We thank you for the opportunity, ancestors. During this talking cure, I'd like to say a prayer for our community, the community prayer for talking cure, which I know will assist and aid us in our plight. As we bow our heads before you today, we ask that we humble ourselves so that we may quickly be mindful of the fact that because of the fact that the Great Most High has chosen each and every one of us and we have been called by name, we ask to come to this universe to do a special job. We have been appointed and anointed, and being appointed and anointed, help us to know what our purpose is. Help us to divine and to understand what our mission is. Most of all, help us to speak to the African community, remind them of their greatness and who they once were. Mothers and fathers, please, beyond a shadow of a doubt, don't waste time in waiting to train up a child in the way that he should go. We ask that you would touch every household that's represented here, and that the child may hide the word of God in their heart, that they might not sin against their higher self. Help us to be loyal to the mission. Help us to be loyal to our calling. As we begin to prepare this ceremony for African families to remember and remind them that the talking cure can heal them. Each and every one of them needs to talk their problems out to heal their condition. We are not slothful in being reminded that there is someone higher and greater than ourselves that we must bow down and pay homage to. We call on the deity today, Obatala, Shango, Alegba, Ishun, and Yamenja. We call on those deities and ask them to remind us of the essence of God. Essence of God is pure love and kindness, pure understanding, unselfishness, and peace. Let those things ring in our household and in our life, and forevermore let it be settled with us that we are peacemakers and that we are about to meet our brothers and sisters with an open hand, not with a closed fist. Help us to bring peace about this universe. Help us to understand that we are the coyote. We are the owl. We are the eagle. We are the great lakes and the great oceans and rivers and ponds. We connect with them on a day-to-day basis, and we're reminded that we do not destroy our Mother Earth. We're reminded that we are part of this universe, and this is how we connect with God. Thank you for reminding us to be careful, to be kind to the bald eagle, because he is becoming extinct, just as our African-American boys are. Father, help us to show the black male his proper place, so that he can rise up and one day he can call you glory. In the name of the Most High, we ask you to endow us with the spirit of understanding, with the guidance that we need. Father, we know that this earth is coming to an end, but not the end, but only the beginning. As we spread out to the 2011, prepare us to transition into a new world and to change our consciousness. Help us to grasp the knowledge that we need to be the best we can be. And we'll forevermore be mindful that it was our higher self, our Ori, the Godhead who lives inside of us, that convinced us to be mindful of the fact that we are bought with a price. We are not our own. We have a debt to pay back to society, a debt that is a great one. We must sit like human beings and conduct ourselves in a mannerful way. Now, to God be the glory, to the majesty, may we forevermore be reminded of the fact that God gets the glory. Thank you for the opportunity of sharing that prayer with you. Go into your household and make sure the prayer is in order on a day-to-day basis. I'd like to give you your world back now as we bring this ritual to an end. Thank you so very much for your time and your effort. As we bring this session to an end, be reminded that the universe belongs to you, as well as the earth and the Lord. The earth is ours, and we've been given dominion over it. The earth and all that is within. Give thanks today. Give thanks to the Most High. Money to an end, we'll go right into a pledge, an affirmation. Oh, say, can you see?
Oh, say, can you see? Read by the author, Omiika Bidiako Garth. Oh, say, can you see? The Statue of Liberty waving at me. America, the beautiful she once used to be, shedding her light ever so bright, even in through dawn's early night. Now my future doesn't look so bright. Oh, say, can you see? The Statue of Liberty, is she waving at me? With her once opening doors where they were once closed and rearranging the positions we hold. Now with the people free, they can get up. They can get up off their knees to stand equal beside every man with pride. Oh, say, can you see? Is the Statue of Liberty, is she waving her hand at me? You said education was the key, and that you wanted all men to be free. Once receiving the higher knowledge, now after I've obtained the college, affirmative action would now be abolished. Is there no place for me left here in society? Oh, say, can you see? Is the Statue of Liberty? Is she waving her hand at me? While looking back in retrospective, it seems that you have now neglected to look at your reflection to see if you have waved in my direction. Is this one soul that will never be saved? All because you forgot to wave. Oh, say, can you see? Oh, say, can you see?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this journey. You've got your own Eva in the house today, and we're about to start with our program. I'd like to give those books out first before we get started. And as you know, yesterday you were supposed to get a book, so we're going to give you three books today, so that way you can have some manuals to go into. We're starting a five-part segment on looking at the strategies. Looking at the five-part strategies of how to start a family information center. I'd like to give you the vocational rehabilitation resource. This manual was written in 1996. It's a catalog for parent training project. And that can be found through the PACER Center, P-A-C-E-R. You can Google that online. It's a technical assistance about training and rehabilitation act. What we're about to start, ladies and gentlemen, is a segment of the show that is for families with special needs children. These are didactic technical assistance and tools that parents can use to start their own parent information center. And the reason for the five-part segment is because we are giving you, once again, a breadth of knowledge, not a depth of knowledge. These are tools to get you started and on your way for those of you who would like to submit grant applications to start their own family life center, which is a parent information center for special needs families. So the Vocational Rehabilitation Resource Book is one. And as I told you earlier, the Strategies for Success, an evaluation handbook that you can also find online under the Technical Assistance Alliance for Parent Centers and the National Technical Assistance Center. This manual is also available to provide structure and strategy for setting up your parent information center. Now, the special book of this evening is Surviving Strategies for Going Abroad, A Guide for People with Disabilities. Excellent book written by Laura Hershey, and this is a Mobility International USA publication. Please contact the Mobility International USA publication and Google that, and you can ask them to send your book out a sample. And this book is very valuable for those families and those advocates who would like to get involved in traveling abroad if they are candidates who have special needs or disabilities. Now, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for lending me your airways. I'm going to bring on my co-host who will be assisting me on this topic. His name is Terrell Garth, and I'd like to introduce you to him. He has a segment to read on the Family Life Center. Terrell Garth, you have the air.
Thank you. Okay. Steps in the Family Life Center. Families now want to collaborate with professionals and other service providers as equals in a partnership. We welcome this point of a role reversal where sometimes become the teacher and the professional becomes a student. We take pride in being able to do it ourselves, not unlike children who have grown beyond the need for their parents' constant vigilance. Professionals must allow families to find the family resource centers, so that they remain the unique parent-directed entities that pioneering parent leaders intended. Families ask that professionals allow us to make our own mistakes just as they make theirs. No one gets it right all the time. For the past 12 years, parent training and information centers have shown the parents can handle their own agencies, budget, run its programs, etc. Unlike PTIS, which is often statewide agency focused mainly on offering training about educational laws, FRCSs or PDFRCSs are local, community-based entities offer, offering a broad array of services. Indeed, a PDRFC can house a PTI, so PTIs cover broad territory but cover a limited service area, mostly education laws. FRCSs cover a narrow territory, perhaps a neighborhood, city, or a country, but they cover a very broad service area, social, educational, health, legal, family, etc. In a nutshell, a Family Resource Center's mission is to help children receive the resources, health care, and educational services such as love, hope, and respect they need to achieve their potential by providing them strong families and dedicated professionals to serve them. FRCSs know that helping to provide children with well-informed, supportive, knowledgeable, assertive parents is as much a directed service to children as providing them a leg brace or speech therapy. The generic goals of Family Resource Center are, number one, strong, capable, caring, assertive families. Number two, dedicated, knowledgeable professionals sensitive to the ongoing needs of children and families. And number three, family-centered, culturally competent, community-based, coordinated care for children and families.
Thank you very much, Terrell, for that information. I know for a fact that there are many families out there right now who are families of children with special needs and are wondering what it might take to start a center like this. It sounds like a real broad program and maybe one that may be difficult. But however, we do have another person in the audience that's going to pose some questions for us to ask a little bit more about parent information centers. That is Maddie Harvey. She's out in the audience right now.
Yes, I'd like to know, how do one get a parent information center started?
Okay, Natty, I would like to address that issue. A parent who has been working as an advocate, and let me start off by saying that this would normally be someone who has been engaged in working with a special needs child in the home or possibly in a job setting. That parent may feel that she has been endowed with quite a bit of knowledge and feel like she wants to give something back because it's now become a skill for her rather than just taking care of a child of her own. She wants to give something back. Now, there are many ways to get started with a Family Life Center. However, you can pick and choose the designated group that you want to work with. It could be an isolated family of African-American families, Hispanic families or European families, or children with Down syndrome. It could be any specialty. However, we know that the urban setting, children are the ones who are less served, and sometimes those families fall between the cracks, and we are saying that there's a great need for African Americans to become advocates as well as to work in the capacity of providing technical assistance and family life centers for families with special needs and giving them parent information and referral. So now, for example, people will often come to you and ask you, how do you start a new program and why would you want to start a parent information group? And one of the things, Maddie, I would probably say to them is because the community needs to service those families, and they need to be serviced right in the community where they live. And those families are experts, and whether or not they know it or not, they become the specialists because they've had informal training and seminars, workshops, and symposiums. They have a wealth of information and knowledge and resources at their hands already. So they are accustomed to receiving various documents and information, so it might behoove them to offer those same services back to someone less fortunate in the community. Now, did I answer your question for you?
Yes, and I also wondered if I need training to do this. Is there a way that I can get training to be able to service?
Yes, you can. The technical assistance organization, which is online, that offers technical assistance, and they have training in the nutshell, which defines each one of the tasks that someone must take in order to take it upon themselves to start a family resource and referral center. They can go after grant fundings that are available, or they can simply go after it alone by working this program out of their home. Most of the advocates start their advocacy work out of their home. Then they seek technical assistance and apply for grants that are offered throughout the year, or they also ask for technical assistance if the funding is no longer available. So there is training available. Help is available. Does that answer your question?
Yes, you've been very informative. And if I want to go further with this, who do I contact?
If you were going to go further, you could check with online. You could Google PHP, that's Parent Health Information. And the Parent Center, they're located, Maddie, throughout the state. There is a Parent Information Center in every state. It is a mandate that they must provide Parent Information Centers. So every state has a geographical representation. Then they have the regionals as well. If there is not a service in your community that you can access, then you might start your own. And that's what we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen. You're starting your own Parent Information Center. That's right. And the reason why I know this is because I was able to start a Parent Information Center many, many years ago from the home and servicing the parent with technical assistance and materials. Now, when these centers, when they find out there's a need and they start an RFPP, they send out RFPPs, and you can answer an RFPP by writing a grant to service this community. If you don't have a 501(c) and you're not an agency but you have the skills, some candidates have, and I don't recommend this, but some of them have piggybacked on with other corporations who have a 501(c). And then they provide their outline and procedures for how they plan to operate their business, but they must complete the RFPP, which is an application. The Parent Information Center, there is the family, there is the PPIs, which deal primarily with the information and referral, and then there's the Family Information Center that there are four grants given out throughout the year, and there are four opportunities, or there's four chances of, you know, you applying for that. It's, you know, where they give out four grants for that particular organization. This is federal money, and some of it is state money. Now, I don't want to get too much involved in that as much as I want to get involved in what makes up a Parent Information Center. I'd like to say the children are the main reason why you would set up a Parent Information Center, because that child may get diagnosed at birth, and there are many ways that that child can be diagnosed through screening in the hospital. If that child is diagnosed as a special needs child, the parent then is given several different packages of information to access services in the community, such as a Parent Information Center. Now, the person that is carrying out the duties of a parent information representative, they are going to have a lot of helpers. Number one, they're going to need a trainer, someone that can do training of the trainer and go into the communities and train teachers, someone that can also train the parents. Then periodically they're going to have to sponsor seminars that are lengthier and longer. Now, you also have to know one thing. Most of the advocates have to get involved with the ADA laws, meaning that they have to learn the laws. And the laws are sometimes not accessible, but they can obtain material and books. And normally the ADA department will provide them with the laws for the ADA department. And there's also one booklet called Section 504, which is a manual. It's a comprehensive manual for Indiana educators on Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. Each state has their own copy. Then there are the articles. The articles are designated per state, and they're different for each state. Most of these advocates learn this material, reference to it, and learn the laws so that they're able to advocate on behalf of families and go into staffing. What do I mean by staffing? I mean staffing where they represent the parent in getting the services that the child needs by cutting through the bureaucracy. They also can be involved in mediation, meaning that there's a discrepancy of services in the school system or suspension of that child where the parent needs someone to represent her like a lawyer. The advocate is not a lawyer. He is not or she is not a member of the bar, but she's able to advocate for that family and that child. If that parent has to go into due process, the advocate is usually trained to follow through on the techniques and procedures for due process only if they're trained. That is some high-level training, and normally the parents usually seek out someone that is a mediator and has those skills. He must be trained for 40 hours as a mediator and be registered with the court in some cases for mediator and domestic mediation. However, for civil, I'm not necessarily sure if they have to be registered or not. But you certainly want to have training in that area. Now, the ADA department offers a lot of training. So these particular candidates who want to become parent information centers, they are constantly given training free of charge. And the materials are made available to them because they are now stocking their shelves to become a resource center. And that can be done out of the home. They could very well set their homes up where they have files and material that they're distributing through the mail to help people. Hold on for 1 minute. Takes five. I'm going here to my screen to take a look and see if we have any other listening audience out there. Okay, now we're back, and thank you so much for joining us in the Care to Read Room. It's been a pleasure to serve you and get you involved in ways that you can become a service in your community, ways that you can offer something back. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the churches that are out there, they can now look at having a family life center and housing a parent information center there specifically for special populations, for challenged children and families of children with special needs. Now, the reason why I'm putting a lot of emphasis on this because the average school system has children that have been diagnosed with disabilities who are not aware or whose parents have not tapped into the services in the community. Schools are always having workshops and seminars to tell parents about all of these services that are in the community. Whether or not the parents come is a different story. Now those parents can also find out under Section H of the law, under the regulations, there are laws that will also allow the early intervention, the parent, to get involved with the child's learning. And there's a push for parents to become employed of children with special needs. And under that note, they are trying to get more of these trained parents in the system to work in paid positions under Section H, meaning that they are trying to provide employment for those families who have stayed home and been a stay-at-home mother who have been basically rearing their children and dealing with all of their own advocacy needs. For those mothers who are ready to go on and get employment, who have nurtured their children and used all the skills they have, now they want to get something back, the state will assist and aid you in finding employment in certain states. Now, you're going to have to get out of the house and go to some workshops and seminars and answer some RFPs if you are truly interested in forming a parent group. First of all, you must form a parent group that will bring parents into your circle who have children with deficits, children with challenged needs, who have been labeled, who are receiving services under special education. Those parents have a vested interest in utilizing your center. You might want to bring them together and let them know what you're thinking about doing and ask them to support you by coming into the center to receive materials and attending seminars, webinars, and workshops. At that particular point, you also may want to introduce yourself by having a ribbon ceremony doing a press release and letting someone in the community know that you provide services as a parent information service. And doing that press release, you might want to have your ribbon ceremony. And even if you're operating out of your home, you can do that ribbon ceremony at the library where you introduce yourself and invite parents there and give them a sample of some packages of material. You're going to have to package material in advance for the families. And that would be information that you're sharing with them about your services, about your times and schedule. Now, I did say something about a trainer. You're going to have a trained person on staff, preferably a part-time paid employee. So down the road, you're going to want to receive funds because you must, if you are a 501(c) and you're operating under a board, and if you have a staff, you're going to need to have a secretary, and you're going to need to have that trained and paid part-time special education instructor who does the workshops for you. Now, you can go to seminars throughout the year that will walk you through and give you all of this information in a nutshell, and that is through an organization. Hold on, let me give you the name. That organization I said, the Family Resource Center, is PHT, Training and Technical Assistance, and they're located in Santa Clara, California. And their number is 408-727-5775. Or you can fax them at 408-727-2928. Now, their website is www.pht.com/frchelp.htm. Now, and the email, if you wanted to email them, is frchelp@pht.com. Now, these are strategies providing the ABCs of the FRC. And the FRC is a family resource center. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. There's a family resource center, and there's a PTI, a parent information center. Both of these are two different entities. Now, the Parent Information Center is a broader center that handles states, and they are responsible for the states. The FRCs are Family Resource Centers. There are very few of them, and normally there is about 10 of them, and they have issued about 10 grants. So people that are being renewed, some of them are just starting. But those family resource centers, they are specifically designed for designated areas of need. African Americans, there is a great need for you to set up these family resource centers, and there is services available to you that's willing to help you with your child's need and the community. So the reason why I'm alerting the African American to this and any Hispanic and minorities, because we are a greater population that's been served for special needs, but very few services are made up of African Americans that are going after the funding and grants. You definitely want to be one of those organizations by going online, looking at the federal government when they offer these RRPPs in the event that you want to go after the funding. If you would like to start small because you have a child at home, and you would like to set your program up by virtue of the services you offer your child, but you want to make that service available to other parents, then you can start from your home. You can even go work for your state agency and who has a center already and work from your home and be connected to your state center and still run a center there, but you would be under their auspices, but you work independent out of your home. Now, if you want to go further than that and have your own name and get your own 501(c), then that is possible as well. However, for those people who are not familiar with special education, there is a lot that you need to learn, and the state mandates that you learn the ADA laws. For example, the Indiana State Board of Education is a special education organization that has special education rules, and they call this the Title 511, Article 7, Rules 17 through 31. Each state has their very own articles. Go to your state. Ask your state representative in their education department, and preferably in the State Board of Education, to send you a copy of the titles, articles, and the rules. Learn the rules. Master the rules. Become an advocate. Take some surrogate advocate courses. Then you can determine if you want to become an advocate. After reading all these regulations and rules, for example, in the state of Indiana, the Department of Education has a division of exceptional learners. They call it exceptional learners, which also is the category of special needs. But don't let that fool you. And the document is provided by the agency, and it has a version in each state. Each state has their own version, and the rules that they address pertain to the ADA regulation. You must know these rules and regulations. You must know the laws, because if you are going to be a true advocate, you must be able to cite case law, or you must be able to cite titles and articles that come out of the governing state laws. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to be a bit of a researcher, and you're going to have to learn this information if you are truly trying to set up a family resource center or a family referral center. Now, for those of you who want to go after the big money, become a PPI, then you're going to have a lot of competition with other existing PPIs. Those grants usually run for 3 years. After 3 years, they must reapply again. Now, what does it take to make you a parent information center? I'm going to see if I have anybody out there in the audience that has any more questions. Listen, audience, are you out there? Will you? Okay, hold on. I'm going to try to get her back out here. Hold on. Listening audience, are you out there?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any more questions in reference to how do you become a family resource center, what is involved?
Yes, I was wondering, to ask this question, do you?
Yes, there's training available throughout the state. Also within your county, there's training. And I would be willing to bet if you Googled training and development up under the state where you're living, under the educational board, there will be trainings going on consistently throughout the state. Now, a real advocate that goes on to become a mediator or due process officer, they are up to date on the number of trainings, and they are probably working in the court system. Now, when you work in this particular end of the spectrum, you're doing something called trial due process hearing, which is not in the courtroom, but it could very well be in the school or in the administrative office. But you nevertheless are cross-examining, and you're involved in this case just like you would produce a prima facie case in a court of law. So there's quite a bit of legal work that goes with being an advocate as well as being a mediator and someone working in that capacity. Does that answer your question?
Yes, to an extent. Will I have to pay up front for that kind of training? Is it free?
I'm glad you asked that question. The training is free, listener. It is available to you throughout the state. And most of the training within state for a person that is going for advocate, there is also elder care law that they periodically offer training for advocates who want to take elder care recipients and assist them. And I've gone through the elder care training, which is absolutely fantastic, and all of it was free. I've gone through the surrogate advocate training. That was also free. As a matter of fact, some states literally pay the participant, and I don't know that if that's in your state or not, but some do. You have to check on it for those people who are going to do work for that particular PTI. And if they're doing work and they want to become an advocate, they're paid for their time in some states. They try to accommodate you in every way they can to get you involved and get you to be a leader in the community to work as an advocate. Do we have any other listening audience out there with questions? We need to look out in the audience to see if there's any. Do you have any more questions, ma'am?
I was going to ask if I was interested.
How do I contact or who do I contact?
Okay, if you are interested, we gave out that number. I can give it out again to you.
Yes.
That organization is called PHP, the Family Resource Center, and Training and Technical Assistance. One of the locations I'd like to give you is at 3041 Alcott Street, OLCOTT Street in Santa Clara, California, 950-54-3222. And that phone number is 408-727-5775. The fax number is 408-727-2928. And there is a website you can go and take a look at under www.php.com/FRCHELP.HTM. Their email is FRCHELP@PHP.com. You definitely want to write that down, ladies and gentlemen. These are very friendly people. I've been working with them for many, many years. They've been a great assistant to me. They will send you out samples. They will send you out materials. You can even request the 18-step in a nutshell. Those books are, sometimes they do charge. I don't know if they're charging now. However, I got mine many years ago, and they're a resource center. So they actually walk you through the process of how to set up an FRC, a Family Resource Center. And they can also give you the technical assistance you need. Now, what I am providing for you is just a breadth of knowledge. And throughout these five segments, hopefully we will cover things like looking at the state 504 regulation, looking at transition for the child, looking at self-advocacy, and looking at, you know, traveling abroad for special needs children. So we're going to cover a multitude of materials. You definitely want to tune in when we talk about special needs children going abroad to do advocacy work. I mean, what a fantastic opportunity to be a disabled person advocating across the waters for other youth. I think it's a great opportunity. We're going to get into that book more, and there are some tidbits that they offer about how you can best prepare yourself to go abroad. Now, the other thing I want you to know is for mothers who are out there and you, if you have a special needs child, and if you are a special needs child and was a special needs child and grew up as a special needs person, they are certainly trying to locate you to get you involved in the training for a surrogate advocate. And in your state, it should be a program in every state. You must find out who is your representative and go to the workshops and seminars. Keep yourself involved, mothers, in these programs because it's going to help your children. And make sure that you're at the PTA meetings every time they offer an in-house service that will allow you to best service your child. Remember, I said, mothers and fathers, you are the first teachers. And you can become an advocate and get paid for it. That's right. After you self-advocate for your child, if you don't want to do the center and you just want to become an advocate, you can do advocacy work where you can work in certain states and certain various different parents will pay you to assist and aid them. I was paid during that time as an advocate because I did legal work for them and preparing briefs and motions and documents and interrogatories. So you're going to have to learn the laws and understand the procedures. I did work with another lawyer, of course, as a paralegal, so you could get more things done because you had someone who was a member of the bar. But if you're not a member of the bar, you definitely don't hold yourself out to be a lawyer. Paralegals are not lawyers. They're not members of the bar. There are limited things that paralegals can do. However, in working with special education, you must always tell them you are an advocate. That does not mean that you are a member of the bar. That means you represent the family or the child, and you gather facts and documents. And you try to go into the meetings, and you try to adjudicate these families and their children. There are certain rights that special needs children have. Where some people may be ignorant of the law, there's no excuse for ignorance of the law. You must give those children their rights, and parents must know that there's a help available to help them to go into these meetings and advocate for them. What you do is you role model how the parent is to advocate for her child. You don't do all the talking for her. You demonstrate for the child and for the parent. So advocates, good advocates, show the mother how to advocate for their children. And advocacy is a big thing now, and it has become a big program where there's technical assistance and all kinds of programs that are available online and organizations. And tomorrow we'll be talking more about the organizations that house programs that you can ascertain materials from. You can start off by collecting these materials and become a resource referral that way as well. I mean, you can set up your own libraries in your home where you start finding facts about information about disability organizations, programs that offer disability services, sort of like the Rehabilitation Institute that service candidates who are transitioning out of school into the workforce, early intervention services, the Section 557 that works with the mother and the child. There's a wealth of information that parents can create their own ticket for success and becoming a specialist. And that's what I'm talking about, closing the gap, ladies and gentlemen, closing the gap of getting knowledge and understanding, because knowledge is power. I've seen a number of children who come out of special ed transition right into college and do extremely well because they exercise all of the services that are available. But it's up to you, mother, to advocate and show that child how to self-advocate for him or herself. Now, I'm going to say this to the listening audience. Teachers, some of you need this knowledge because you're in a classroom and you don't know the laws. And as you know and I know, if you don't know the laws and you have a special needs child in your classroom, ignorance is no excuse for the law. You must understand that that child has rights, and you must understand that the parent has rights. So therefore, this program is being made available to those homeschoolers and to those parents, and I'm telling you that you can be a part of changing society. Special ed needs a lot of work, and I'm counting on all the teachers that are listening to the sound of my voice to definitely come on board and please listen and find the way to get involved in advocating for a child today. We're rolling up on that 60 second, and I want you all to know that you're special, and not just because you're a special needs child. Every child needs to be serviced, and every child needs to have an opportunity to learn. And what we're doing is pulling the covers back, pulling the walls back. We're revealing things that need to be made known so that parents will not be isolated, trying to cut through the barrage. We are going to help those parents and show them, as well as teachers and instructors and administrators. So come on in the room. We want to give you this opportunity. And we're going to give you your airways back in a few minutes, about 60 seconds here, and then you can have your world back. But in the meantime, advocate for a child. What have you done for a child today? You can advocate right here in the Care to Read room. Let me give out those call numbers, 646-478 0270. And I want to put my fist in the air and give a shout out to our neighboring radio station, Harambe Radio Station. We say hello to Delani Aman. Hello, Delani, and I hope you're doing fine out there. We'll say Harambe, Harambe, Harambe. Hello, Harambe. Haven't seen you in a while. Hope you're doing great work like you always do. And we're going to go out of here to Canaan land today, ladies and gentlemen. You ready to go with me? Get those dancing shoes on. We are ready to go to Canaan land.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way. Don't you hinder me. I'm on my way, child. The Canaan land. This is the audience. You need to come on in here and get this knowledge. Come get this knowledge. Thank you so very much for going the whole distance with me. You got your only Anchor 7 in the house here to provide for you and service you, your advocate. You truly have your advocate this evening, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I do. I advocate on behalf of families with special needs. And those families out there are now waiting to be trained, and they're waiting to advance themselves to help someone else. And that's what this is all about, a five-day segment to help empower those would-be advocates and empower those mothers, so that we can raise them up so that they can become strong enough to empower a village, and therein lies empowering the child. We know that there is no such village that lies out there without a strong parent in the household. And I didn't say a mother and a father, I said a parent. And that's why it can be raised up with one single parent, if need be. However, if there are those with surrogate parents out there that would like to join forces with us to help raise other children up, please do join us, because that's what this is all about. This is about empowering those parents and teachers so that we can raise up that village that we talk about so much that no one has ever seen. It doesn't seem to be a village in sight. Why don't we start villages, schools, and out throughout the neighborhood, or even for our churches on Sunday? Why don't we raise up a village so that they can go there and gain resource and information in our PTIs and family resource centers? That's what we're going to raise up in our community. And as we raise up those parent and information centers, guess what? We are going to better society. We are going to empower the nation. When you raise up a woman, you have risen up a nation. I declare you have, because a woman is going to see to it that the managerial skills are laid down and that they're carried out. And if you don't know anything about the way a woman operates, get with a good woman and find out there's some good in these parents. And these parents want to become hard workers, but they need guidance, and they need role modeling, and they need advocates. And that's what I intend to do, to advocate for them, to help them to know what is best for their children, and to show them how to stand up in front of an organization and ask for what it is that they want. A closed hand can never get anything in, and a shut mouth can never advocate for her children. It is time for us to advocate for our loved ones and our children, and for those who can't advocate for themselves. That's why I've advocated in all different communities, white communities, black communities, Hispanic communities. I've gone there when there was a cry for help. The cry for help knows no color or no creed or no consciousness of a denomination or of a race of people. It's important that we learn to advocate and to teach human beings to advocate for one another. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think we have somebody out there in the listening audience that has a word that they'd like to say. Do we have a person out there? Okay, we have to wait for a minute. Okay, we're almost off. What do you have to say, listening audience? Okay, hold on. Okay, what did you say?
I'd like to thank you for this mass of information that you've given us. And this information, and you also given us a sense of direction with this knowledge. And I want to thank you very much for it. And if we want to get back to you, you left us a number where we can get back to you for further information.
You could call into the station at 646-478-0270. You could call into the station at any time. I'm here Monday through Friday. I am your advocate. You have a servant here at your dispense. Thank you so much, listening audience. You've been a joy to work with. I look forward to working with you every day. And I thank God for the opportunity to share the knowledge that I do have. And may I be able to shed knowledge and understanding upon a race of people that needs to rise up, that needs to rise up. We've been at the pit and the bottom for so long, we don't think that we can unite ourselves together. But there is room for us to unite ourselves and lock arms and become a force to be reckoned with. And at this day and hour, it is time for people to come together on one accord, because we're operating as gods now, and we know that we have to press God forward. And as we press God forward, we have to come together and collaborate with the Godhead who lives inside of us. Remember to pray for one another, ladies and gentlemen. Remember to take some time out to say a prayer for Omi, and also make sure you pray for your children. And as they leave and go to and fro, lay hands on them and pray for them and put your spirit in them, and they will rise up one day and call you glory. Be blessed and go in peace and have a great day. And on that note, I say, oh, Jabba!